All right, in Philippians chapter 2, will you read with me from verse 1? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to talk about verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word mind there is from a Greek word, if I understand it right, is, I think it's phroneo, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. This word, it has to do with an attitude. It is translated affection in Colossians chapter 3, I believe. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That is, be heavenly minded. Let this mind be in you. This attitude, the context bears out the fact that it is attitude. Let this attitude, verse 5. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's an attitude. The word is translated careful in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4, verse 6. We'll start in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In other words, what should your attitude be? That's the point. Look down in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, but now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, what do you care about? What is your attitude? What is your mind on? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to discuss the word mind. We're going to talk about that some more later on. But today, I want to talk about verse 5 in the light of some other passages in the Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let the attitude then that was in Christ be in you. But now, how literal can I take that? And I'm thinking, like Bud was talking about a while ago, how far can you go with this? Well, how far can you go with the attitude of Christ being in you? Now, I want you to put on your thinking cap. I want you to think with me. How far can you go with the attitude of Christ being in you? Unless you rightly divide the word of truth, if you've got the attitude of Christ as he had in the 3 years of his ministry, you're going to end up in utter confusion. Let the attitude of Christ be in you. Why, Jesus Christ called a Gentile woman a dog. Is that what my attitude ought to be? Somebody come and talk to me and I call them, I say it's not right to take the children's bread and give to the dogs. You're a dog. You talk about unkindness. What is my attitude supposed to be? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Is that the attitude I'm supposed to have? Look in Hebrews chapter 13. There's a lot of people today that make a big deal about this passage right here. The Pentecostalists are very anxious to use this verse. In Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, the Bible said he was, didn't it? Yes. Well, then is he? Yes. But is his attitude the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does he deal with people the same? No, he does not. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All this must be seen in the light of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There is no possible way that I can understand this Bible outside of this attitude here. Maybe I'll use that term. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." In other words, just like I can't know the things of man unless I've got the Spirit of man, I can't know the things of God unless I've got the Spirit of God. I can't know the things of God by the Spirit of man, but I can know the things of man by the Spirit of man. I've got to have the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. Bud was talking about the love of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19-20 along in there. Paul said that you may know the love that passes knowledge. Well, how can you know something that is unknowable? Well, you can know something that is unknowable if that which is unknowable was unknowable because it never was revealed. For instance, if I say that this right here represents Genesis, and I come down and this is Malachi, and this is Matthew through John in here, and the crucifixion is there, and I come over here to Acts chapter 9, we'll say. And it is not written down. It is totally hid as far as writing is concerned, and not written down between Genesis 1 and Acts chapter 9, the love of Christ, then it can't be known. How can I know the love of Christ for all men if God doesn't reveal that love of Christ? Why then was the love of Christ that is unknowable at that time? Why was it unknowable? Because he didn't reveal it. That's why. But I can know what he revealed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can understand that based upon the fact that the Spirit of God then came, and Paul, writing through the Holy Spirit, wrote down what God would have us to know. How can I know by the Spirit the things of God? Because the Spirit wrote the Word of God. That's how I can know. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Bible is the book of the Spirit, and therefore by His Spirit I can know the things that God would have me to know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 12 again. Now, verse 12, rather. "Now we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Please observe that the word Spirit in verse 12 is with a little s. Look at it again. Verse 12, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is written with a capital. In fact, turn to John and look in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are Spirit." Well, beloved, the cross-reference from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, concerning the Spirit, is John 6, verse 63. The spoken word of God is the spirit that reveals the things of God. We know the things of God by the Spirit of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There is no doubt about that. Then go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, then I can't know the truth of Philippians chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, and such passages without comparing Scripture with Scripture. If I say, okay, I'm going to take the attitude of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be like Jesus Christ was, I'm going to foul up. I'm going to foul up. If I'm going to be like Jesus Christ was in Matthew, somebody's going to come to me and they're going to say to me, what do I need to do to be saved? That's exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 19. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. No way would I tell somebody in 1985 if they said to me, what do I need to do to have eternal life? I wouldn't say keep the commandments. Say, is Jesus wrong? No, he isn't wrong. That was the truth for that person at that time, but that sure as this world is not the truth for any person that I would come in contact with today. So how am I going to know the attitude of Christ that is referred to by Paul? I can only know it by the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Let's try that. Turn please to Romans and look at Romans 15. In Romans 15, and look at verse 8. Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, on and on. Now, Jesus Christ then was the minister of the circumcision. In other words, in this period of time in here, Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. What's he doing? Confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Now look in verse 15. Verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now that's clear. Jesus Christ's ministry was to the circumcision. Jesus Christ's ministry to the Gentiles is through Paul. Let's try that again. You might have missed that. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's clear. That's specific. It's easy to understand. No problem there. Look in verse 15 again. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and on and on. Well, then, Jesus Christ's ministry to the Gentiles is through Paul, and that's unmistakable. Jesus Christ, a minister of the circumcision, Israel. Paul is Jesus Christ's minister under the Gentiles, preaching the word, and so forth. Let's compare these two. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. How far can I go with that? I can go just as far as the Word of God reveals it unto me. So let's compare. Jesus Christ sent by the Holy Spirit. Turn please to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus Christ led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now compare please Luke chapter 4. Hold on there. Go to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In your Bible, is the word Spirit of Luke 4, verse 1, the same as the word Spirit in Matthew 4, verse 1? What's the difference in them? One's a capital S, the other is a little s, right? Now, how come such a thing? You've got the answer to it. Do you not have the answer to that? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus led up with the Spirit into the wilderness. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, he said. But wait a minute. Did Jesus Christ have the Word of God? Huh? Well, sure he had the Word of God. Absolutely. Jesus Christ did the things that he did by the Word of God, in that he fulfilled all the Scriptures concerning himself, right down the line, as sure as you're in this room. In fact, the Venice, on a given day, Jesus Christ was conceived. On a given day, Jesus Christ was born. These things in one accord were those things. He was born of a virgin, fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus Christ was the forerunner. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, fulfillment of prophecy. The wise men came from the east saying, where is he born king of the Jews? Why did they come at that time? Evidently, they had some scriptures that pertain to that time. John the Baptist, 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ, came out of the wilderness, preaching repent. John the Baptist fulfilling the prophecy of himself of Isaiah chapter 40. Jesus Christ on a given day went to John and got baptized. He said, behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Everything is the fulfillment of prophecy. On a given day, Jesus Christ came from Bethlehem over to going into Jerusalem. He got to the Mount of Olives. He sent the apostles forth. He said, you'll find an ass tied down there. Loose him and bring him unto me. And they went and they got him, brought him unto Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ got on that little animal and rode him down into Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecies concerning himself. It's the 10th day of the month. The Lord had told the people on the 10th day of the month, you're to take a lamb, shut him up, and observe him for 4 days. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he's exposing himself as the Lamb of God on the 10th day of the first month, and on and on and on it goes. He fulfilled each prophecy concerning himself. He's led up of the Spirit, but he's led up of the Holy Spirit. And so it is with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul worked based upon prophecies. And you'll notice when you read Paul's writings that he will quote Old Testament passages consistently. And yet the Apostle Paul goes by the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus Christ was led up of the Holy Spirit, Paul was led of the Holy Spirit. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, it is very important that you understand this. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As the minister of the Holy Ghost and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Tell me something. Was Jesus Christ sent forth by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Was Paul sent forth by the Holy Spirit? Yes. There is no doubt about that. Well then, was the ministry of Jesus Christ led by the Holy Spirit? Was it in one accord of the prophecies that the Holy Spirit had made? Yes, the Holy Spirit led holy men of God back here to write, and therefore the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ in fulfilling each prophecy of himself. The Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, would fulfill any prophecy concerning his ministry, but at the same time, just as the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ, so the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul over here. and he received new revelations that hadn't even been written down, but instead they're in God from before the foundation of the world. Both of them led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something. If the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul, and if Paul walked by the Holy Spirit and served God by the Holy Spirit, then Paul's ministry is just as important a ministry of the Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ was. Was Jesus Christ's ministry under the Holy Spirit more important than Paul's? No. Jesus Christ's ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would have been a failure without the ministry of Paul, because that the fact that he died at Calvary for your sins would not have been made known unto you unless the Holy Spirit revealed that to you through the Apostle Paul. One is not more important than the other. Okay, they're both led of the Holy Spirit. Notice something. Jesus Christ sent to baptize. Look in John chapter 3. John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Turn please to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jesus Christ, led of the Holy Spirit, he baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Why should I then force baptism through the Apostle Paul over here if I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit? If I'm led of the Holy Spirit..." Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, led of the Holy Spirit, baptizes. But Paul, carrying out his ministry to the Gentiles, is not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Therefore, if Paul was to baptize, then he's not led of the Holy Spirit, right? But wait a minute. If I baptize and I follow Paul, am I led of the Holy Spirit? Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. In Romans through Philemon, there's not one place that anybody is sent to baptize. Well, then if I'm led by the Holy Spirit and follow Paul, how can I baptize? So I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, that's what we're talking about. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ." Well, if I'm going to let the mind of Christ be in me, I'm going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, through Paul, said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." And Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Then Christ would not baptize Gentiles, beloved. There's nothing hard about that, is there? Let's try again. Number 3, Jesus Christ sent to the Jew only. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He was sent to the Jew only, and that's in one accord with Romans 15, verse 8. In Romans 15, verse 8, Paul said, Jesus was the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. Well, then Jesus Christ's ministry in here was to the Jew. And so when he sent the apostles out, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." As you go preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." But how about the Apostle Paul? Paul is sent to all men. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm trying to oversimplify this. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Turn to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, verse 9. A reference to God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, then the ministry of Paul here has to do with that which was discussed by God the Father and the Son and the Spirit before the world began. This in here, from Genesis through to the cross over here, is that from the foundation of the world. This is that from before the foundation of the world. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest, and by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things, and on and on and on. Paul is to all men. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. Turn to Titus. That'd be better. Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. And look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, and on and on. Go back to 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's all men without distinction. Not all men without exception. All men without distinction. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's for all without exception. To be testified in due time. Jesus Christ said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He is led by the Holy Spirit. Paul is to all men. He wrote down that God would have all men to be saved, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and on and on and on. We must understand the truths of the Word of God by comparing Scripture with Scripture. But that isn't all. Jesus Christ's ministry was sent to blind men. Turn, please, to John, and look in John chapter 12. Now, I know some people won't like this. I'm sorry about that. In John chapter 12, look at verse 37. John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Why did they not believe on him? So that Isaiah's prophecy would be fulfilled, right? Which he spake, Lord, who believed our report? To whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? Why couldn't they believe? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Whoa, now. Isn't that something? I mean, Jesus Christ spent 3.5 years in his ministry, and in none of that time was he trying to save men. But instead, he was fulfilling prophecies concerning himself, and instead of opening their eyes to see, he was blinding them that they might not see. Why? Because that had Jesus Christ not died at Calvary, men would have ended up in hell. Over here, the Old Testament saint believed, and that Old Testament saint offered sacrifices that could not take away his sins. Therefore, when he died, he couldn't go up to heaven because his sins were not paid for, because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. So he departed from his physical body and went down into the lower parts of the earth, went into paradise to rest there and await the day that Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, would come and die. But wait a minute, if Jesus Christ had not died at Calvary, then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the Old Testament saints down there, would have had no resurrection. They would have had no way out of there. But yet, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 6, the Bible said they came to make him a king, but he ran away from them and hid from them. You see, if Jesus Christ would have received the throne of David, if he would have come in on a white charger, and if he would have put down all national governments at his first coming, you would have gone to hell. Don't you understand that? If Jesus Christ would have not have died at Calvary, there would have been no salvation for you. Therefore, he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart in order that they would say, away with this man, crucify this man, so that through his crucifixion at Calvary, those who had been chosen by God before the foundation of the world could have salvation through his death at Calvary. And that's what Paul's ministry was for, to show that to people. Turn, please, to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 26. All right, in Acts chapter 26, verse 15. I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, watch, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Why, you couldn't miss that if you tried. Jesus Christ was sent to blind men. Paul was sent to open their eyes to the truth. Jesus Christ then kept a truth away from them. What was that truth? As to why he was dying at Calvary. Why would he do a thing like that? Because, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the mystery of verse 7, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if Jesus Christ would have told mankind what he was doing about his death, why he was dying, they wouldn't have crucified him. Satan would have not brought about his death, but he blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, in order that they'd crucify him. Why? Because God, before the foundation of the world, chose Jew and Gentile in the church, which is the body of Christ, and Christ redeemed them by his blood at Calvary, and had he not died at Calvary, we would have went to hell. Therefore, God blinded their eyes. Jesus was sent to blind them. Paul was sent to open their eyes and reveal the truth unto them. Jesus Christ, number 5, preached the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 3 says that, well, look in Matthew 3. In Matthew chapter 3, and look at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look in verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And it goes on and on. Did I give you a bad reference? What did I tell you? I apologize. Four is the one. Okay. Jesus came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what about the gospel of the kingdom? Look in Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist preached it. So look in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Jesus Christ baptized. Jesus Christ, a minister of the circumcision, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preached repentance and water baptism. But how about the Apostle Paul? Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. Look in Acts chapter 20. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God does not include water baptism. How do I know that? Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What was Paul's gospel? The gospel of the grace of God. Well, then the gospel of the grace of God does not contain water baptism. Amen? But the gospel of the kingdom does contain water baptism, the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Jesus was sent forth by the Holy Spirit. He walked by the Spirit, and so forth and so on. Paul was sent forth by the Spirit, and he walked by the Spirit and preached by the Spirit. Number six, Jesus Christ was sent to die. It was needful that he die. He came in this world to die. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we doth judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, Jesus Christ came into this world, the Bible said, to die for sinners. But how about Paul? Paul, not so. Look in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to have to cut in the middle of everything here, so look in Philippians 1, verse 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, gain to himself. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, living for Christ is. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. In other words, Paul is saying, I'd be far better off if I died and went on to be with Christ than to be here in this prison with these chains on me and the things that are taking place. That would be better for me like that. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It was more needful for you that Jesus Christ die for you than his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it was more needful for you that Paul live than that he die. Hence, when did he die? When his ministry was finished. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, 6. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. When Paul's ministry was finished, Paul died, departed to be with Christ. Paul came to live for you. It was more needful that Paul live for you so that through the pen of the Apostle Paul, you could know why Christ died for you. For without the pen of Paul, you wouldn't have known why Christ died for you. Now, my text in Philippians chapter 2 said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the attitude of Christ Jesus then? The attitude of Christ Jesus was being led by the Spirit, fulfilling everything pertaining to himself, doing what God sent him to do. You can't take the fact that it said the attitude of Christ or the mind of Christ and go and do everything that Christ did. That's obvious. Why, Jesus Christ told some people in Matthew chapter 8 to keep the law. You wouldn't be led of the Spirit today if you told people to keep the law. He told people that they're to keep the law. Paul told people they're dead to the law. He says, keep the commandments. Paul says that if you're keeping the commandments, you're fallen from grace. So the attitude, as referred to in Philippians then, certainly cannot be trying to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That won't work. What is his attitude then? His attitude is to do the will of the Father. Well, let this mind be in you. What attitude would you have? To do the will of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, which is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. What should be my attitude then? My attitude should be heavenly. I should want to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I should want to do the will of the Lord, and I should want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wrote this book. Well, then I should be very unhappy with myself if I set one passage against the other so that I cause this Bible to contradict itself. No way could I have the attitude of Christ while doing such a thing. Thank you for being here today.